First session is presented by Ms. Ingrid Adelson, who's a graduate student at the University of Minnesota. She's going to be speaking about translating evidence-based obesity guidelines into clinical practice.
Good morning. As mentioned, the title of my presentation today is Translating Evidence-Based Obesity Guidelines into Clinical Practice. I'd like to acknowledge my co-investigators, Kristen Erickson and Diane Thorson of Ottertail County Public Health, as well as the study's principal investigator, Dr. Karen Monson, who is here today, from the University of Minnesota. I have no financial relationships to disclose. And this project received funding from the Clinical and Translational Science Institute at the University of Minnesota and the Minnesota Statewide Health Improvement Project, and was conducted through the Omaha System Partnership. Obesity is a critical health issue and is currently of epidemic proportions. In the United States today, one-third of adults are obese and one-third are overweight. Many health problems and economic impacts are associated with the obesity crisis and have negative impacts on population health. Clinical guidelines have been developed to assist clinicians to address obesity in the outpatient healthcare setting. One such guideline is from the Institute for Clinical Systems Improvement, entitled Prevention and Management of Obesity for Adults. Motivational interviewing is an evidence-based counseling approach for behavior change. Originally developed for the addictions field, the method has been shown to be effective in clinical practice for overcoming the ambivalence that keeps people from making desired nutrition and physical activity changes in their lives. Motivational interviewing is included in the Institute for Clinical Systems Improvement guideline. Unfortunately, research has repeatedly shown that evidence-based obesity guidelines are not being fully implemented in clinical practice, and that patients are not receiving effective obesity assessment and counseling. Weight management conversations are not happening often enough during clinical encounters. These missed opportunities for obesity management in clinical settings can be considered a failure to rescue. It is therefore a priority to ensure a competent public and personal healthcare workforce using evidence-based practices to address the obesity crisis. Four Minnesota County health departments recently embraced the challenge of improving clinical practice to address their own obesity epidemic. Their local assessment found that the obesity rates in these four counties exceeded the state average. The four county health departments formed a collaborative called Partnership for Health, which was awarded funding from the Minnesota Statewide Health Improvement Program. In 2009, Partnership for Health began a system-level intervention with healthcare organizations to promote implementation of the ICSI guidelines. Recruitment began in 2009 in the four-county region. 10 organizations were recruited using fax, email, telephone, and face-to-face conversations with organization administrators and quality improvement personnel. A public health nurse from Ottertail County Public Health Department was the intervention facilitator and liaison between Partnership for Health and the organization. There were many interventions during the first 12 months. These included face-to-face and web-based trainings on obesity guidelines and motivational interviewing, providing teaching materials to clinicians to facilitate weight management conversations with clients, customized action plan creation within each organization, conference calls for follow-up and support, and evaluation activities. Documentation cues, changes in policy and physical clinic environment, and administrative support were all addressed. After 12 months of intensive intervention, the PHN continued to meet quarterly with each organization for an additional 12 months. The PHN assessed the organizations for their guideline knowledge and use at the start of the intervention in April 2010 and completed a final assessment with each agency between January and March of 2013. To evaluate the impact of the intervention, the collaborative applied for and received funding from a Community Partner Award from the University of Minnesota's Clinical and Translational Science Institute. The research team consisted of our presentation co-authors, representing the University of Minnesota School of Nursing and Ottertail County Public Health Department. Kristen Erickson was the PHN for the intervention, as well as a study co-investigator. The purpose of this study was to investigate the effects of the system-level intervention on translation of evidence-based obesity guidelines into clinical practice using the Omaha system. There were three specific aims. The first aim was to assess the impact of the intervention on clinician knowledge, behavior, and status relative to obesity guideline implementation using Omaha system KBS ratings. The second aim was to understand end-user perspectives on how and why the intervention impacted guideline use through analysis of key informant interviews. The third aim was to evaluate the use of the Omaha system to measure system-level outcomes. Approval for this study was received from the University of Minnesota Institutional Review Board, the Minnesota Department of Health, and the Partnership for Health Counties. Informed consent was obtained from all participants. The instrument used in this study was the Omaha system. Karen Martin is the principal investigator and author of the Omaha system, and we are honored that she is here today with us in the audience. The Omaha system is a standardized terminology developed at the Visiting Nurses Association of Omaha. It is designed for use by a variety of practitioners in a range of healthcare settings. It has been approved for electronic health record use by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. The Omaha system consists of three relational components designed to be used together: the problem classification scheme, the intervention scheme, and the problem rating scale for outcomes. Its terms are arranged in a hierarchy and provide a structure to document client needs, describe multidisciplinary practitioner interventions, and to measure client outcomes. The problem rating scale for outcomes consists of 3 5-point scales for measuring the concepts of knowledge, behavior, and status. Together, these are known as KBS. In this study, the Omaha system was applied at the systems level, in which the healthcare organization, rather than a patient, was considered the client. The Omaha system problem selected for this study was the healthcare supervision problem, which is defined as management of healthcare treatment plan by healthcare providers. Healthcare supervision was an actual problem due to the sign or symptom of an inadequate treatment plan for obesity at each healthcare organization. Knowledge was operationalized as knowledge related to the content of the clinical obesity guideline, behavior as integrity of clinical obesity guideline use, and status as frequency of clinical guideline use in appropriate encounters. For AIM 1, the sample consisted of 10 healthcare organizations. These were primary care clinics, including a migrant health service and a federally qualified health center, county public health departments, and a physical therapy clinic. 70% of the sites were rural, and 60% received public funding. The PHN used the Omaha system to document outcomes by assigning pre- and post-KBS ratings to each organization. Organization self-rating was accomplished post-intervention by asking clinicians to rate themselves and administrators to rate their organization. For AIM 2, the sample consisted of 2 to 3 clinicians and 1 administrator from each organization for a total of 39 participants. Of these, 10 were administrators and 29 were clinicians. Clinicians included nurses, nurse practitioners, physicians, physician's assistants, registered dietitians, and physical and occupational therapists. Key informant interviews were conducted by a retired public health professional between October 2012 and April 2013. Semi-structured interview questions about the intervention were used as prompts for all interviews. Interview transcriptions were analyzed using Deduce software, and content and analysis methods were used to derive themes relative to the impact of the intervention. For AIM 3, we compared the results of AIMs 1 and 2 in order to assess the face validity and content validity of the Omaha system intervention and outcome measures. Was the intervention effective? Yes. As healthcare organization knowledge, behavior, and status regarding guideline implementation and use had improved after the intervention. The pre-intervention graph shows the baseline PHN ratings across organizations and the post-intervention graph shows the average of the PHN and organizational self ratings across organizations. Overall, the ratings showed substantial improvement, moving from an average near 1 to an average above 3 on a 5-point scale. Organizations' self-reported ratings were slightly higher on average than observer ratings post-intervention. The changes in ratings were consistent with the large effect size for the intervention. The largest change was seen in knowledge, defined as knowledge related to the content of the clinical obesity guideline. The overall average for knowledge changed from no knowledge to basic knowledge, and the differences in observer pre-post ratings showed an improvement of 2.7 points on a 5-point scale. Behavior, defined as the integrity of clinical obesity guideline use, had an overall average for behavior change from not appropriate to inconsistently appropriate behavior. The difference in observer pre-post ratings showed an improvement of 1.9 points on a 5-point scale. Status was the frequency of clinical guideline use in appropriate encounters, and the overall status improved from extreme signs and symptoms to moderate signs and symptoms. The differences in observer pre-post ratings showed an improvement of 1.7 points on a 5-point scale. We can see that the intervention was effective. We wanted to also know why and how the intervention worked. To answer this question, we examined participant responses about how the intervention affected their organization and their ability to use the guidelines. Four major themes emerged as explanatory of success. These themes were practical assistance, change ownership, permeates organization, and a new norm. The theme of practical assistance emerged as participants described the impact of the direct, tangible support provided by Partnership for Health and the PHN. Examples of tangible support were having professional training and teaching materials to help facilitate weight management conversations with clients, as well as the regular check-in visits by the PHN. One dietitian summarized the importance of support by saying, "It's helped us to stay on track, and it's helped us to continue to be mindful of the process." A nurse reported how motivational interviewing training caused an important shift in her thinking about obesity prevention practice, stating, "I just believe this gives the work back. We can no longer should on our population. They have to want to do it." The theme of change ownership emerged as participants described how guideline implementation was internally designed and led within each organization. This professional self-ownership was demonstrated in descriptions of personal involvement in the guideline implementation process, and in ways in which clinicians customize guideline use strategies to the organization's unique settings. One clinician summarized the impact of this ownership by saying, "You're not someone who's hearing it secondhand. You're hearing it right from the beginning, knowing how important it is." The theme of how obesity prevention permeates the organization emerged as many participants emphasized that evidence-based guideline implementation was successful because everyone was involved in the obesity prevention effort. This included the role modeling of healthy behaviors throughout the organization. Interdisciplinary collaboration and staff wellness also supported this theme. One participant stated, "We're really trying to walk the talk, and we're trying to be a clinical environment that promotes health and well-being for patients and staff." The theme of the evidence-based obesity guidelines becoming the new norm emerged as clinicians and administrators mentioned the perception that guideline elements and supports had become embedded within the organization. This, in turn, increased both the importance of guideline use as well as the feasibility of having clinician-client weight management conversations. Documentation cues, changes to policy and physical clinic environment, and administrative support were all important contributors to the guideline becoming part of the organizational culture. In describing how obesity prevention conversations became the new norm, clinicians and administrators made statements such as, "It's something we can't ignore anymore," and, "The more we talk about it, and the more we do this, the easier it is." In summary, our findings suggest that a guideline translation may have been effective because of the practical assistance provided to participants that encouraged change ownership. This facilitated a culture shift that diffused and permeated the organization and ultimately established a new organizational norm for obesity management. Comparison of observer and participant KBS ratings and the interview themes indicate that the Omaha System KBS ratings were consistent overall with changes noted by participants. Self-report and observational data are inherently biased. We address this by using a standardized and defined metric and by comparing self-ratings to observer ratings. Further research should incorporate chart audits to verify that obesity prevention conversations are documented and additional inter-rater reliability measures. Furthermore, the interviewer in this study was a public health professional, but was not trained in qualitative research and was not involved in the study's development. Therefore, some opportunities for more in-depth exploration of responses may have been missed. The implications of this study are that local public health agencies, in partnership with healthcare organizations, can transform clinical obesity practice. This is timely information as the obesity epidemic continues and as provisions of the new Affordable Care Act are encouraging development of public health clinical partnerships. Additionally, the Omaha system can be a useful metric for evaluating system-level translation of evidence-based guidelines into healthcare delivery. Further research is needed in three areas. The first is to assess the sustained impact of the guideline translation intervention over time. The second is to investigate the participant perspectives regarding the proposed mechanism for changing obesity management norms derived from the interview themes. The third is to continue to explore the role of local public health in guideline implementation promotion for other important public health issues. To conclude, the local public health agencies partnered with healthcare organizations to translate evidence-based obesity guidelines into practice. The Omaha system was effective in measuring the impact of the system-level intervention. A new model for the underlying mechanism of system change in this public health collaborative project was also suggested. Thank you for your attention. I'm happy to take any questions.
Any questions?
Yeah.
Very nice presentation. Your part of it, the very beginning of your presentation, so you may have already addressed my question. But I'm wondering if there's been any attempt to look at an outcome indicator of kind of national focus, such as the BMI, or real change as a result of implementing the guidelines at the individual level or at the practice level. Change this translational activity with their guidelines that's implemented, do you really see any real change in the outcomes of in some way, either activity, step count, or something that would indicate that the work is in fact translating effectively to the major goal of obesity control?
Yeah, and that would have been excellent. Unfortunately, there weren't any chart audits that were done to document or to extract things like the patient's BMIs or even documentation of assessment that was happening. So that is necessarily going to be included in future research. And hopefully, as the intervention continues, that is potentially going to be recorded.
That would be great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an excellent point.
Thank you. Excellent. Thank you.